brought a little prop tonight. This is a candle. It's in a jar. I thought we had some long ones here at the church, but I don't know what we did with them, so I had to pull this one out of a stash that we had. But it's a candle. It's a purple. You can see it in color. It's got a wick right in the middle of it, and it's in a jar. But candles have a lot of different purposes. On a birthday cake, they represent the number of years. Well, some of us don't put as many candles as we have years, but in most cases, they represent the number of years that we're celebrating our life. On weddings, they serve a certain purpose, especially the unity candle that the bride and the groom usually light after they exchange their vows, signifies the start of their life together. We have Christmas candles that we wrap with holly, and they sort of set the stage and add warmth to the holiday gatherings. But the greatest use that a candle has, any candle has, is that when the power goes out, you can take a match, light a candle, and turn darkness into light. You can see to get around and do the things that you need to do. I don't know exactly when candles came on the scene. I know in the Middle Ages, poor peasants took reeds and dipped them in the fat of animals, and they would light them. They called them rush lights. The Chinese made the first candles out of animal fat. They called them tallow candles, and in some cases, during war, when there was a shortage of food, the soldiers would actually eat the candles and get some nourishment from them. The English made them out of beeswax, which supposedly made brighter and better candles, but they were expensive, and only rich people could afford candles made out of beeswax. In the 1700s, fishermen sold the oil from sperm whales to make candles, and then in the mid-1800s, paraffin wax was refined from petroleum. And since then, other things have been added to candles, like scent, and they've made them dripless, and they've made candles that, you know, when you want to pull a joke on somebody for their birthday, you can get them where you can blow them out, and they'll light back up. And so all sorts of candles, all sorts of purposes, but again, the most important purpose of a candle is when the power goes out in order to light it and have light and be able to see to get around. The word candle is used 17 times in the Bible. Most of the time, it represents life. It represents a person's life. In Job chapter 18, verses 5 and 6, Bildad's trying to comfort Job, and he's speaking about the wicked. And he says, "Yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. The light shall be dark in his tabernacle, and his candle shall be put out with him." In Psalm 18, verse 28, David's talking about the goodness of God, and he says, "For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." Of course, we read how it's used here in the book of Matthew, probably the most famous time in the Bible, or the time in the Bible when most people are, or the place in the Bible where most people can think of that the candle is mentioned, where it says, you know, we don't light a candle to put it under a basket or a bushel. We light it to set it on a candlestick to give light in the house. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." In John chapter 9, verse 5, he says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." We know Jesus left. He went to prepare us a place. In John chapter 14, verse 2, he said, "I go to prepare a place for you." And he left us behind, and he told his disciples in Matthew chapter 5, while I was here, I was the light of the world. Now I'm leaving you as lights in this world. And he says in verse 16, we read it, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You know, we sing that little song sometimes, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I won't let Satan get out. Hide it under a bushel." No, let it shine till Jesus comes. And we are, as Christians, the light of the world. And we are, as Christians, we reflect his light. And we do that so that others can see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. All candles consist of two things in their basic form: a wick and some kind of wax. Okay? Wax is made out of different things, like I mentioned, but that's what a candle is: a wick and wax. And I will point out to you tonight that all candles, regardless of what they are made of, are self-consuming. In other words, they will burn until they go out. They will burn until the wick is burned completely up and the wax is completely gone. Now, again, in one way, that paints a pretty good picture of how we are to be the light of the world. Because we ought to be willing to just burn ourselves out for Christ. We ought to be willing to serve him till the end. We ought to be willing to just give everything we have and to be totally consumed in the cause of Christ. But I would point out to you tonight that once a candle burns itself out, once the wick goes burns itself completely up, once the wax is completely gone, once the candle goes out, it is good for nothing. It won't give any more light. It won't provide light so people can see in darkness. Once it gives itself and it's completely consumed, it is no good to anybody. It will not be relit. And so tonight I come to you with the premise that it's better to be a lamp than a candle. And what I mean by a lamp is a device that has a wick, in most cases bigger and wider than a candle wick. But one end of that wick is set on fire, and the other end of that wick is in a container of oil. And that oil, it goes up through the wick and burns and burns and burns and burns and burns. And then when the reservoir of oil is about to give out, you can add more oil to that reservoir and it will burn and burn and burn and burn some more. And so again, the candle's good. And again, in the Bible, it's used to represent our lives. But I would tell you that if you read your Bible closely, even in Matthew, the word candle in my Bible has a little one by it. And if I go to the center column and I look at that, it's not the word that's used there is lamp. And when I look at candlestick in my Bible, it has a little two by it. I'm sorry, a little three by it. Bushel has a little two by it, but the word candlestick has a little three by it. When I go to my center reference in my Bible, it has the word lampstand. And so even in this verse, Jesus is telling us, hey, ye are the lamps of the world. I want you to be lit on one end and have the other end in oil. In the Holy Spirit. In the Bible, oil represents the Holy Spirit. And in the book of Romans, chapter 8, the Bible says, so then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, but to live after the Spirit. After the Spirit. And so tonight, I encourage you, be a lamp. Be a lamp. On one end, be on fire for God. On the other end, be submersed in the Holy Spirit of God and just keep burning and burning and burning and burning and burning. And as we do that, we get power from the Holy Spirit for several things. We get power, first of all, to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses Joseph's unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. This world is a dark place, and most people live in darkness. In the Bible, when it talks about sin, it usually equates it with darkness. Jesus is the light of the world. When he was here, he was that light. Men didn't like it. And you know why men didn't like it? Because it revealed their wickedness. And wicked men love the darkness because in the darkness, their sin, they think, is hidden. When Jesus came, he cast light on that sin, and they didn't like it. They did not like it. And so he's left us to be lights in this world. He's back in heaven, and he says, if you keep yourself submersed in the Spirit, if you are a lamp on one end set on fire and on the other end submersed in the Spirit of God, ye will have power to be witnesses. Ye will have power to share that light. I was talking to one of our ladies, and she was telling me she's inviting people to our anniversary Sunday, and one of these guys that she was talking to said, "Well, I think I'm all right. I don't know about this salvation thing, but I think I'm all right. Something happened. If this is the end of time, and it was time to go to heaven or hell, I think I'd be all right." She says, "No, you're not." Just like that. No, you're not. That's the boldness that we need to have. We should not let people labor under the false assumption that everything's going to be all right. I mentioned this morning this article. I got so mad. I was reading the paper early one morning before the rest of them got up. This Bible, they're revising the Bible. And they're taking hell out of the Bible. Gary, I think you were telling me about this morning too. Taking hell out of the Bible. They said, "Hey, how can a loving God send anybody to hell? God's a loving God, but he's also a God of justice. And there is a hell. And the Bible says all people that don't know Jesus as their Savior are going to end up in hell. And we need to be bold, and that it's the Holy Spirit that gives us that boldness." I've known people that have been meek and mild. I mean, they would, in normal circumstances, they would not ruffle a feather. My grandmother was one of those people. She was just so kind. I never heard her say a bad word about anybody. Now, I'll tell you, her and my grandfather argued all the time, just went back and forth. I mean, lovingly. You know how grandparents lovingly argue? That's how they argued. But she was so kind. She'd never say a bad word about anybody. But I was with her in the grocery store, and they got to talking about God, and I heard her say to total strangers, "If you don't get saved, you're going to hell. If you don't ask Jesus to be your Savior, you're going to go out in eternity and you're going to burn forever." This was a meek, kind lady, but she was immersed in the Holy Spirit of God and had the boldness that the Holy Spirit gives us to tell people, "Hey, if everybody's a sinner and the wages of sin is death, and the only way to escape an eternity is in hell is to come and ask Jesus to save you." And if you're here tonight, I say in the power of the Holy Spirit, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you don't change that, one day you are going straight to hell. There is no other way out of hell except Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Don't think that you can come up with an alternative. You can't. Men have tried it for all ages. Adam started it in the Garden of Eden when he made those fig leaves to cover his nakedness. And from that time till this time, different men have tried to come up with different ways to get right with God. And God said, none of them will work. Only one way will work, and that way is Jesus Christ. So, be a lamp. On one end, be on fire. And on the other end, be submersed in the Holy Spirit of God. And as we're submersed in the Holy Spirit of God, he will give us power to witness. Number two, he will make our face to shine. Psalm 104, verse 15, and oil to make his face to shine. You remember when Moses was up on the mountain? The second time he went up. First time he came down, and the people had, Aaron had made that golden calf. Of course, he told Moses, "I just took all this gold and threw it into this fire, and out popped this calf." So some people explain how the world came into being. It had this big bang and all this stuff appeared. How stupid do they think we are? Big bang. Oh, yeah, it's just all. No. God made this world. And so Moses, he came down. Aaron had built his calf. And Moses broke the Ten Commandments, first copy. And so he had to go back up for another 40 days and 40 nights. And the Bible says when he came down, his face was lighted up. It shined. So much so that when he talked to the people, he had to put a veil over it. And then when he went to talk to God, he took that veil off. You know, when we're submersed in the Holy Spirit, when he has control of our life, and when he is leading and directing us, and again, let me tell you what I'm talking about. Our face may not physically shine, but people ought to know that we've been with God. And we are with God. You remember when Peter and James and John, I think were the three in the book of Acts, chapter 4. And the Bible says when the rulers, they said, hey, you know, these are ignorant men. But they realized because of the boldness that they had been with Jesus. They'd been with Jesus. If we submerse ourselves in the Holy Spirit of God, people ought to be able to tell that we've been with God. And they ought to want what we have. Again, the same lady I used in my first point, she's telling me, she's inviting all these people to come to her anniversary Sunday, and she said that they said, yeah, we want to come because we want to know what makes you so happy. We want to know what you have that you know, in the midst of all this stuff going on, you can say so calm. And we ought to be so submersed in the Holy Spirit of God that people can look at our lives and say, there's something different about it. I don't know what it is. Don't know what it is, but I want it. I want it. So be a lamp. One end on fire, the other one submersed in the Holy Spirit of God. As we do that, he'll give us power to witness, he'll make our face to shine, and he'll gladden our heart. In Psalm 45, verse 7, thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness. The oil of gladness. You know, there's not many things in this world to be glad about. If you watch the news, the world is just going to hell in a hurry. And there's not a lot of good news. I mean, and again, I'm not going to get started because I'll just go on and on. You know what I'm talking about. The world needs a group of people to remind them that if there's nothing in the world to be joyous about, there is joy found in Jesus Christ. There is joy found in a relationship with God. As we have the Holy Spirit and he provides the protection and the guidance and the wisdom and the other things that we need, regardless of the heartaches. Brother Leonard was talking about it in Sunday school this morning. He was talking about rejoicing when persecution comes. Being able to say, this is the day that the Lord hath made, regardless of what's happening, I will rejoice. I will rejoice. You know, we as Christians ought to think about how we look to the world, how our face looks to the world. You know, a frowning Christian, there's just something wrong with a frowning Christian. It's what they call a oxymoron. I don't know if I'm saying that word right. An oxymoron. Sort of like when somebody says airline cuisine. There ain't no good food served on airlines. I'll tell you that from years of experience. It's gotten better, but ain't no good food served on airlines. Sort of like when a golfer uses an aluminum wood. Huh? An aluminum wood. Or it's like that choir director that went into the insane asylum and started a choir. And the folks in his choir wanted a snack. And so he said, okay, we'll have apples and Tab, you know, the pop name Tab. And so they started having apples and Tab every day for their snack. And he decided to name his choir the Tab and Apple Moron Choir. Some of you didn't get that. See me afterwards, I'll explain it to you. Tabernacle Mormon Choir? Okay, never mind. But we are. Okay, some of you are catching up now. That's good. I'll just pause for a minute and let the rest of you catch up. But we ought to have joy. I love it when all these guys come up and say, "Preacher, I got a joke for you." Some of them are the corniest jokes that I've ever heard. But I tell them again, think they're good when I'm telling them. But we ought to have that joy. And being immersed in the Holy Spirit of God gives us that joy. Number four, being immersed in the Holy Spirit of God points out our sin. Psalm 141, verse 5, "Let the righteous smite me, it shall be kindness, and let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil which shall break my head." The Holy Spirit will reprove us. He'll point out sin. And I had a lady come out this morning. She said, "Preacher, thanks for stepping on my toes." And I said, "Well, I stepped on mine this morning too, so we're in it together." But the Holy Spirit will do that. He'll reprove us if there's sin in our life. And I'm glad he doesn't wait till it gets to be big. He tries to get it when it's really small, when it first starts. When we say something we shouldn't say, or we have an attitude that we shouldn't have, we go someplace that we shouldn't go, rather than wait until it becomes a habit, he comes right after us and said, "That's not right. You need to fix it. You need to quit it. You need to change it." And he will reprove us of our sin. Number five, he teaches us. 1 John 2:27, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointed teaching you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." And again, I think I talked about it last week. Holy Spirit wrote this book. He moved men, 40 of them, at different times down through the ages to pen the words in this book. I believe the originals were inspired by God. I believe word for word, jot and tittle, that the Holy Spirit told them what to write and how to punctuate it. I believe what we have in the King James Bible was preserved by God. I believe that this is the Bible that we ought to use. Who better than to instruct us and to teach us what's in this book than the one who wrote it, the Holy Spirit of God? So he teaches us. And then number six, he gives us wisdom. Proverbs 21, verse 20, "There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise." Not only does he teach us this book, but he teaches us how to use it. That's what wisdom is, how to use what God gives us. And again, a candle is good, but a lamp is better. Because the oil in the reservoir can be filled up again and again and again and again and again and again. Eventually, this thing will burn out. Wick will be all gone, the wax will be all gone. But a lamp can keep burning and burning and burning and burning and burning and burning forever. So we sing that little chorus. "Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day." That'll be our desire, to keep burning, 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 until Jesus comes or until he calls us home. Keep pointing people to him. Let our light shine so they can see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you've allowed us to be lamps for you, that you give us that oil that we can keep burning. And I pray, Father, we would be faithful in letting our lights shine so that others can see you and be pointed to you. I pray if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, right now they would see their sin, they'd see the penalty for that sin, and they would see that the only hope that they have is to come to Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, right where they sat, they would just ask Jesus to save them. Just say, "Father, I know I'm a sinner, I know I deserve hell, but I believe that Jesus died for my sins, and right now I ask him to save me." Father, I pray that they would pray that, and I pray in just a second, if they do, that they'll get up and they'll walk the aisle and tell us so that we can rejoice with them. I pray for the many Christians that are here. Help us to be lamps, lamps that burn bright for our Savior. Help us to realize the only way we can do that is to keep submitting and submitting and submitting ourselves to the Holy Ghost, to be full of Him. And so I pray that if there's some area of our life that we haven't given over to Him yet, that we do that tonight. Bless this time of invitation. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.